Hello, and welcome to another episode of You Don't Look Autistic. My name is Clara, and I'll be the host of this podcast today. In case this is your first time listening, this podcast is basically just me interviewing folks with different either mental diversities, physical diversities, and chatting with them about their experiences and their feelings on that. I myself have a mental diversity. I am on the autism spectrum. I was diagnosed when I was 20. It was about 2 years ago. And since then, I've been very interested in just hearing what it's like for other folks who live with different challenges and stuff and seeing what they have to say. So that's basically the gist of what this podcast is about. I have a couple notes. I did a sort of like bulk recording this weekend, so I don't know if this episode will be posted before my interview with Alyssa or vice versa. So in case this is before Alyssa's and it's technically the second recording, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who listened to the first recording, and I got a lot of really nice feedback and it was so sweet. It made me smile a lot, and I'm really excited to keep doing this now. And in case this is the third one and Alyssa has already gone, I hope you enjoyed Alyssa's episode. I had a great time recording with her, and yeah, just glad to be back. Okay, that's pretty much all I have to say. So I'm going to now introduce my awesome guest today, who is Ramona. Ramona, how are you today?
You and I also listened to your first podcast, and it was great.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I'm glad you listened to it. So Ramona, I met you like 4 years ago, very briefly. yeah, I think it was 4 years ago. And it was when my mom and two of my sisters went out to Nova Scotia over the summer for a visit with some family. Yeah. And then my mom knows your mom through some workshop sort of thing they did together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've since stayed in touch. So yeah, it was really nice getting to meet you that day when we were like on our way driving home. Yeah. And just stopped and went on a walk by the water. That was lovely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then since then I was just started following you on Instagram, and you have been vocal about advocating for awareness for chronic pain, and pretty sure that's I always blank right before I start talking about what you're actually here to talk about. I'm just like, so yeah, how about you just tell everyone so you do have chronic pain, and is there anything else?
Yeah, so I've been living with chronic pain since my early teens, and yeah, that's really been, that experience has really helped me be an advocate or be vocal about, as you say, chronic pain or chronic illness and how that affects me personally, but also other people in similar boats, if you will. Yeah, so it was gradual. When I was younger, I was never sick. I always had plenty of energy, and I did competitive swimming for a few years, and I could always keep up with it. And yeah, gradually I started experiencing fatigue and pain, and that was not normal for me, because I'd had some acute pain, if you will, but nothing persistent. And yeah, so I started missing days of school, and then weeks after weeks, and I couldn't keep up with schoolwork, and I lost touch with friends or classmates. And so that was a confusing time, because I didn't really know what to make of it. And
is it normal for people to kind of gradually, as you said, kind of discover that they're suffering with this, or is it kind of unique to you?
I'd say it depends on the person, like a lot of things. Some people it's more sudden, or, you know, after an accident, or something more in the moment. And in my experience, it was more gradual and no obvious hint that it would be occurring. I found that really isolating, not knowing what was going on or what to make of the pain. And I realized at some point that I was kind of the sick kid at school, and that had never been the case before. So that whole conversation with the classmates or people around me, explaining pain that they couldn't see, that was really hard as well.
Yeah, no, that does sound very hard to deal, especially when you're, you know, still technically a kid, and, you know, mm-hmm. your just mental capacity to deal with that isn't really there. Mm-hmm. When you say pain, so when you say, like, when I first hear chronic pain, the first thing I think of is, like, your whole body just hurts. I figure that's probably not exactly the correct interpretation. So do you want to just let me know, like, what, at least for you, what is your experience with how that works?
So when I first figured out that I had chronic pain, basically the definition was that it's pain lasting for, I think, 3 to 6 months, like continuous. And it can either be in a certain part of the body or, as you guessed, overall. But in my experience, it's chronic rib pain. So it's in my rib cage and it's always hurting. It also affects, like, different parts of my body because of the constant pressure sensation. So the way I go about my day affects other parts of my body as well. But yeah, that's my experience anyways.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's pretty interesting. Sounds awful. I don't know if I've met any other people who deal with chronic pain or or have, you know, even heard about it much before. So yeah. Sorry if I'm asking, like, super obvious questions or anything. When you finally figured out that was what you were living with, how were you, like, was it, like, nice to finally have an answer, but also disappointing that it was, you know, chronic and essentially would continue anyways?
Yeah. You said the word disappointing, and that's the one that came to mind as well. So I'd seen lots of specialists and several different avenues of trying to figure out what was going on. And eventually I got an appointment with a pain team. And it's really at that moment that I realized that the pain would be long-term, because I kind of hoped that maybe it would go away or it wouldn't be permanent. And so when I realized that my life would really include on the long-term pain, I was disappointed, of course. It's not easy to hear that. And also, especially because society tends to focus on fixing things when they're perceived as wrong or different. And especially with pain being invisible, that made it harder to process, I guess. That's the disappointment side. And then on the other side is actually knowing in some way that the pain was staying, or that it would continue to be part of my life, also helped me figure out what to do next, which was the only way to move forward is to learn to live with it. And that's a daily learning experience ever since.
I can, yeah, I think it's a common like misconception when you are experiencing something, whether it's like a mental illness or a physical illness, that once you finally get some sort of name to put on it, that it goes away or becomes better. And it really doesn't work like that. Like, it's basically just the start of it continuing forever once you have that name to put to it. I remember when I first was researching autism, it did, like, I felt really happy about it because like stuff was finally making sense to me that I couldn't really make sense of beforehand, and a lot of that was quite liberating. But then once I finally did get my official diagnosis, it took about a year and a half or so to get all that organized. A part of me was kind of sad too, because I was like, oh, like these struggles aren't just going to go away like I kind of hoped or thought they would, or assumed that they would, you know, like this part's always going to be hard. And it's kind of hard to know where to go from there, except like you said, like just learning how to live with it every day and take one day at a time and, you know, hope for the best on some days, you know? Yeah, it's an interesting one. So how does living with chronic pain like affect your everyday life? Like, I think you've mentioned that it kind of fluctuates for you. So for like schooling or trying to find a job and stuff, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, so since pain is always there, there's always like a baseline. There are times where it worsens, but it's not necessarily predictable. So it's really about not necessarily balancing, but kind of mixing the ingredients of what works and what doesn't, and figuring out how to prioritize my time in school or work, and trying not to overdo, but doing as much as I can in a way that my body can hold up. And yeah, some days are experiments, because one thing might lead to a pain flare up one day and the next it doesn't. So yeah, it's, I find managing or paying attention more so to how my body's adjusting to what I'm doing throughout the day. That's basically all I can do. And pain and fatigue are more manageable in a way than a few years ago. But the biggest piece that throws me off is concentration, because sometimes my mind just goes blank. And that piece is harder, especially with studying or working. So,
yeah. And I forgot to ask at the beginning, what are you studying again? You told me before and I forgot.
Yeah, I'm studying a double major in French and English.
Awesome. So is it like English is, I'm sounding so stupid right now. Is it English as in like reading books and stuff? Or is it like the language itself that you're studying?
A mix, I'd say. So like literature, linguistics, and I'm interested in translation, so it's kind of an introduction in that sense.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love taking English courses. I don't often like thrive in them, because, you know, it's a learning process, but I've always really enjoyed analyzing novels and literature and reading about them. I was off topic there for a second. Sorry. Is your school, is your school accommodating to your needs? And when you maybe need some more time to get assignments in because you've had a few days of not feeling well and stuff?
Yeah. Before I started university, I spoke with a few people that knew about my chronic pain experience, and they suggested just be really clear with your professors and with staff of what your experience is and how that might affect your schooling. And so that's what I did, and I found that really helpful. and it still is now, to be really open about my experience, and professors have been really accessible in that way because they know in some way what I'm living with. So yeah, I found it really, really useful. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that your school has managed to help you with that, and that you were also able to feel comfortable enough to put yourself out there and explain to them. I've had similar experiences where I've had schools that were extra accommodating and really understanding, mm-hmm. even before I officially knew that I was autistic, just that, like, when I was in high school, I had an IEP, which was an independent education plan, mm-hmm. so I would get extra time on tests and stuff, and I was also lucky that my high school had a very compassionate, like, I don't know what it's called, like, guidance office kind of thing. So I've always felt comfortable going and talking to the staff there if I mm-hmm. needed extra help with something. And I was also just lucky that I had a lot of very kind teachers. Mm-hmm. And especially, it's hard, I assume, as well with having a more, like, physical pain as well. But, like, mm-hmm. trying to explain, like, I don't know when this is gonna could happen. Like, for me, I was like, I just get confused and tired. Yeah. And sometimes it turns out that my essay sucks. I don't know, kind of thing. And so it's just nice when you know, the school, which ultimately, you know, should be there for you in that way, mm-hmm. Chooses to actually do that. It's always mm-hmm. good. I've had experiences where they don't, especially when I was younger. Yeah. In elementary school, and you're just kind of like a cog in a wheel of 100 kids sort of thing, and there isn't much they can do. And I had a lot of responses of like, well, you know, this is really all you can do for your kid, this is too bad. And so I've had both experiences, and yeah. one is obviously much better than the other. Sorry, looking at my next question. Is there something that you, like, wish people knew more about when they hear chronic pain that you'd like people to know?
That's a big question.
Yep, it is.
Actually, a few years ago, I created a documentary, Inconvenient, a documentary on chronic pain. And, yes. Yeah, I think you've heard of it.
Yes, it's so cool. I haven't seen it yet. I'm so sorry. I will watch it. let me know about that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so your question reminded me of it. Mm-hmm. Because throughout my own experience, I've noticed especially how stigma influences our way of speaking about or addressing chronic pain or anything, honestly, and how sometimes the experience of people living with chronic pain doesn't align with how society perceives us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in making the documentary, I spoke with some people in different parts of the world about their personal experience with chronic pain and what they wish people knew about it, or how to be more aware in a way. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot in there, but let's see, what's mm-hmm. my end? I guess the big part is I wish people understood that just because you don't see it at first glance doesn't mean it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I mentioned this when I was talking to Alyssa, like, for the title of this podcast is You Don't Look Autistic, which is kind of, you know, a joke against, you know, what you often get told when mm-hmm. you don't present visually as someone who struggles with an illness or a disability of some kind. Mm-hmm. And how it actually is a huge issue and part and sort of this thing that people have to navigate when they have something that you have to constantly explain to people and constantly sort of mm-hmm. prove that you're dealing with, which is ridiculous. That is kind of, but you also like, I get it too in a way, because before I started researching autism and was directed towards that, like I had no clue what autism was, and mm-hmm. I have, and I know people who are on the spectrum, but I wouldn't be able to tell you except anything more than what anyone else would say, which is like, oh, you just like love trains and science and you're kind of awkward, and like and then it's like that's like such, that's like not even the tip of the iceberg, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, so that actually
go ahead.
The title of your podcast, You Don't Look Autistic, reminds me of a phrase that often pops up in the chronic pain, chronic illness community, and it's "you don't look sick," or the one I've often heard directed at me is you look young, as if you're young so you shouldn't be experiencing pain. And I found that really dismissive or not not being conscious of what someone can actually be experiencing. And
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point too, that, you know, there's a lot of like ageism that goes into mm-hmm. Accepting and understanding different disabilities and stuff. It's interesting with autism, you know, there for a long time there's been this sort of myth that like it only happens to children, and I was like, yeah, but then the kids grow up, you know, like it doesn't go away. And I think it's really important to understand, you know, like kids get sick too, and you're mm-hmm. they're not invincible at any point. And it's hard to imagine, even like you hear about children struggling with, you know, different cancers, and you see it mm-hmm. on TV, or you know someone, and it's just like it's still like equally as unfathomable. But you know, you can live your normal everyday life as a ill person mm-hmm. forever, kind of thing, and it's doesn't matter how old you are, which is so strange to think about, but very true. So I think this might be like a kind of obvious question too, but like, what do you find like the most difficult about living with chronic pain? Like, I imagine be like, oh, well, it's painful, but but like, yeah, like something that, you know, out of the whole experience, because I know you do get used to being ill and living like this, like you get accustomed to it, so you stop noticing to a degree. But what would you say is, in your experience, is like one of the most difficult things you have to deal with?
I'd say you get used to it, but you don't.
Yeah.
Before, I probably would have said the hardest part was the pain itself. But now I think my answer would be the stigma. Because the lack of understanding and awareness really affects how you go about conversations with people, and the accessibility of being able to do certain things based on the pain you're experiencing. And yeah, pain wise the hardest part is the unpredictability of the pain itself, in my experience.
Yeah, that would be a lot from what I can imagine. Just you know, imagine it must be difficult to just like plan out a regular mm-hmm. week in your mind, because like some days you might be like, oh well, tomorrow I might need to stay in bed longer, or mm-hmm. something like that. Would that be true for your experience?
Yeah, sometimes you just have to scrap the day.
I think that's an important thing to understand too, like you don't have to push yourself to fit some, you know, the societal norm of, you know, constant, like I talked about this a bit with Pepper, where she said, you know, like the sort of just the view that of, you know, to be valuable in society you have to be working constantly, mm-hmm. you know. And I think I think right now people are understanding that that is not the case and really starting to value more self-care and you know, taking it at your own pace, which I think is very important regardless of if you live with a diversity or not. You know, your life could be perfect, so take your time, you know. But yeah, I think that's just really, I forgot what I was talking about halfway through. As usual, I always get to this point where I like get on a rant and I'm like, I forgot. I think self-care is important, and I think it's I think it's good that, you know, you're you're able to do that even if you don't want to, like able to, like, you know, look at it realistically and be like, okay, you know, I would love to do this, but today I need to take care of myself, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think people who know me well would say I'm pretty determined when I'm working on something, so I really want to work on it and get things done. And pain has really, it basically forces me to be more patient because I can't push myself farther than my limit, and so sometimes I have to put things aside and go back or be slower, and that's not always easy either.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think it's sort of helped you to kind of appreciate the little things of every day more, in a sense?
Yeah.
I went through a pretty gross phase of depression last year, and it kind of helped me in a way, being like, instead of having this huge expectation for what my day would look like and how perfect I needed it to be, it would be like, well, you know, I don't feel great today. XYZ is annoying me or whatever, but you know, I had a really nice cup of tea in my favorite mug, and that was nice. And you know, just kind of appreciating those like little kind of ultimately meaningless things that are still nice for you. Was that, would you say, is that something you
feel definitely. As well? My Facebook page, my Instagram page as well, actually, I called it an obscure embrace, and that kind of weaves in the invisibility of pain or the invisibility of the experience, but also how there are blessings, or blessings in disguise, if you will, in the painful. And just being more aware of the little things, or looking outside and appreciating the view, that type of thing. I found that really calming in a way.
Absolutely.
No,
I think that's so important just in anyone's life too, and I think especially now with, you know, I feel like the world feels very fast paced right now, especially with all the different social medias and just media in general, and you know, all the stuff that's constantly being thrown at you. I think actually slowing down and enjoying the view for a second is is good. And I think it's too bad that often people have to go through something negative or struggle with something to realize that. But I think if that's the result in some way, then there's a little perk to it, maybe. You know, I want to ask you about your documentary. So how did you, so I imagine you were inspired by your own experience and talking to other people with similar experiences to make this documentary. Do you have a passion for film or experience in that beforehand, or do you just kind of jump in as a newbie and just went for it?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting story. So the end of my high school years, I did everything either online or from home, with teachers coming into our house and teaching me from here. And I had to take a film and video course to graduate. So I had a few different projects, and the last one, I had a choice between, I think, three different types of film, and I chose documentary and chronic pain research interested me at the time. So I figured, well, I could do a little 1 minute film about chronic pain. So yeah, I started working on that. I made a questionnaire, contacted some people about their own experiences, and I told my teacher, well, I don't think I can just do a 1 minute video. And So I kept going, and I think I handed in the teaser of the film as the assignment, but the actual film is 47 minutes, I think, and it took me a few years to finish it. But yeah, it started from a course.
That's so cool. Yeah, I think, I mean, like, first of all, it's just cool that your school offered that. Yeah. It's been interesting. My high school experience, there was a lot of opportunities to be very creative, which was cool, which mm-hmm. I imagine that, you know, each school is different and will have different regulations and stuff. But there's a lot of kids in my school who are able to be very creative with mm-hmm. their time and their projects. I think is just awesome. And so I'm really glad that you still got to do that, even though you weren't in the school building and mm-hmm. you were allowed to do that. That's awesome. Yeah. I love documentaries. I am in a documentary course right now. And it's very cool. I just, so many good documentaries out there. I love it. It's also just like a really cool, great way of like getting information across in mm-hmm. a sort of universal manner.
Yeah.
Which was sort of similar to like what kind of motivated me to choose the theme of this for this podcast was basically mm-hmm. like when I was basically the reasoning for this was that I knew I was autistic and I was getting annoyed that there was so like little information out there for people mm-hmm. to actually like understand what just having an autistic life is like, because you know you can go online and read like a doctor report mm-hmm. on something, and then the funny thing with autism is like they're like, we don't know what causes it or anything. And so you could read that, or you can like watch a movie that is a very stigmatized version of it all. Mm-hmm. Not to bash every single autism movie out there, I'm sure there are some mm-hmm. sweet ones, I just haven't seen them yet. And so I was like, well, what I found the most useful, even when I was just researching a possible autism diagnosis, was just like watching YouTube videos mm-hmm. or interviews with other people, just being like, this is my everyday life, and this is what mm-hmm. and this is what I feel, and this is what I think about it, you know. And I found that so much more relatable and understandable mm-hmm. than anything like a TED talk with a scientist that I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know what they're saying. So I'm really glad that you found a way to share that, your experience mm-hmm. and your thoughts too. That's so cool. How can people watch it?
It's on Vimeo. Awesome. Or it can be accessed on my An Obscure Embrace Facebook and Instagram pages. I think the link is pretty accessible there.
Awesome. I will also include it on when I post this episode. I will include it, the links for anyone who is interested. And I will watch it too. I should have realized that. Okay. This is bad planning on my part. Well, I think we kind of covered one of my ending questions, which was, what is something you like about your disability? And I know we talked about, you know, noticing the small things and appreciating the small mm-hmm. stuff and slowing down. And then you got to make this cool documentary. But is there anything else that you found that you're grateful for, even though it's been a struggle, that you've gotten to do or gotten to understand?
Yeah. You were mentioning how watching videos or tuning into other people's experiences really helped you. And I'd say that piece and how that taught me to be more vocal about my experience led me to really great friendships. And that's something I really like, to connect with people on a deeper level because of our experiences, which aren't always fun, but there's the blessing of meeting new people in there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think having a community of some kind to relate to mm-hmm. is also very important. Did you just meet people through like online resources or just through like word of mouth?
Mostly online, in different parts of the world. Just online discussions, if you will. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Pepper mentioned that too, how she found some like Facebook pages and stuff and chatted with people through there when she was researching her, realizing she was on the spectrum as well. I didn't really. Maybe just my initial, like my first thought isn't to really ask someone. It's just to do it on my own kind of thing. So that just might be a me thing. But I think it's really great that those resources exist, and it does make such a difference when you can talk to someone who not only like understands, but also like just views you as a regular person as well with your struggle, as opposed to like your struggle is you kind of thing, which I find can kind of be a bit of a barrier with people who do not experience the same thing as you.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I think we can start wrapping up soon. We're about 40 minutes in, including our little cutoff point. That's totally okay. I have like one selfish random question which I like to ask people at the end, which is, what is a movie or television show that you recently enjoyed watching, or a book? Books are also very much allowed and included. So, just curious.
Well, there's one book I think you'd probably enjoy. It's called Being Human by Judy Human. I can send you the info.
Sure, yeah, I'll write it down. Being Human by Judy
Yeah, Judy
something.
Human.
Her name's
And
Human too. Oh, cool.
she's a disability movement activist, and basically tells her experience and her life story. Yeah, I think you'd like it. Yeah,
Oh, well, thank you for letting me know about that. That's awesome.
of course.
Well, thank you so much, Ramona,
Thank
for
you.
joining me today and chatting and just being your lovely self and spreading some awareness about chronic pain. It's something I honestly don't know anything about, so I'm sure that's not just a me thing. I'm sure that's probably a very, very common experience. So, yeah, I'm really glad that we could have you. You're my first person with like a, I hate to say this, like physical disability. That sounds so like not nice. That's not what I mean, but you know what I mean. So yeah, that's an awkward ending. Thank you so much for being here. I'll definitely have you back if soon, hopefully we can continue chatting. I'm sure there's so much more than what we just touched on today.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, well, good luck with your studies.
Yeah,
Good luck with this crazy COVID world that we're currently living in. Though you're in Nova Scotia, so you're pretty safe. I just got back, and it's honestly like it was nice living in that little Nova Scotia bubble for a bit, being like, there's only been like two cases here. And then I come home to Ontario and they're like, everyone's dying. I'm like, okay. But yeah, best of luck with everything. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds good. All right.
Bye.